This is the 10-Minute Teacher Podcast, episode 682, Four Creative Projects Using Google Tools with Eric Kurtz. Welcome to the 10-Minute Teacher Podcast, hosted by author, educator, speaker, and mom, the cool cat teacher, Vicki Davis. Today, Vicki interviews certified Google education trainer Eric Kurtz about how parents, educators, and students can use Google Docs, spreadsheets, drawings, and slides in some innovative ways. These are some great ideas, and your creative classroom projects are about to get a nice boost when you implement these fun ideas. Eric has been in education for over 25 years and currently serves as a technology integration specialist for the Stark Portage Area Computer Consortium in Canton, Ohio. Well, let's get in on the fun. Enjoy.
Today, we're talking with my Google guru friend, Eric Kurtz from Control Alt Achieve, and he has a new book, Control Alt Achieve, Rebooting Your Classroom with Creative Google Projects. And Eric, today, we're going to dive into at least one creative project from each of the four kind of, I guess, main apps. So where do we start with Docs? Can you give us a creative idea for Docs?
Absolutely. So the whole idea behind the book is to take what we've already got, but kind of look at it from a different angle and say, how can we use these tools we're so used to? So yeah, with Docs, we think of it as just a word processor, but it can be so much more than that. So one of the things that we take a look at in the book, we have about, between 8, 9, 10 or so activities for each of the different tools. But for Docs, one of the things we take a look at is creating choose your own adventure stories in Google Docs. And that may be something that doesn't necessarily come to mind right away because we think of a Google document as a linear thing. You read it straight through from the first page to the last. But it turns out that Google Docs supports hyperlinks. Now, most people know that you can do hyperlinks in Docs, but we think of hyperlinks as jumping out to other websites. Turns out that doesn't have to be that way. You can have hyperlinks that jump inside of the document. And so students can work together in a group and they can collaboratively write a branching story right there in Google Docs. And then as somebody reads through the story, they can click on their choice at the bottom of each page and it will jump them to a completely different page based upon their choice. It's a really neat way to encourage creative writing, but also collaboration between students as they work together. And of course, the whole thing can then be shared online so that anybody can read it and go through all of the different options in that story.
Now, to make those links, you do have to use headings. And do you have to have a table of contents so that you can copy those links out of the table of contents? Or is there another way to do that?
Nope, but you hit it right on the head with the headings. That's right. So basically, if you insert a link into a Google document, it's going to expect either a web address or a heading. So yes, as long as you go through the document and at the top of each page, like page one, page two, page three at the top of each page, but as long as you have some text at the top of each page, if you highlight that text and format it as a heading, it becomes a viable link to jump to. So that is right. You go through and you add headings in to the top of each page, and then at the bottom of each page, wherever the choices are, you can then link those through a hyperlink to the headings for the appropriate pages. Good idea to kind of map it all out, maybe get some post-it notes and figure out the whole flow of the story before you actually start trying to link things together.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. How about slides?
Oh my gosh, slides. There are so many amazing things we can do with Google Slides. One of the ones that I take some time to dive into in the book is using slides for stop motion animation. With Google Slides, each slide can be considered a frame of an animation. And so students could be showing, something like a diagram of the water cycle, or they could be taking a vocab word and then having to somehow define that, or they could be retelling a part of a story that they've been reading, or taking a historical event and making an animation of it. Whatever they want to do, what they can do is start off with Google Slides and set the scene by picking a background, putting in some clip art, putting in some images, maybe even putting themselves in there, and then basically duplicating that slide and just making little changes to it, just moving one of the characters around or moving an item to the right or the left, making it bigger or smaller, rotating things, and then just little by little by little, just continually duplicating those slides and making those little changes so that by the end, you have an animation. At that point, the students can publish the slideshow to the web, which allows it to play full screen. And then there's a couple of hacks you can use to speed it up so that it plays a whole lot faster than a normal slideshow would play. And voila, you end up having your own stop motion animation created right from Google Slides.
Fun.
And it may not be something that every student is excited about doing, but for those that do, making that be an option for them, saying, hey, this is a choice. You can make this if you want. Those students are really going to pour themselves into that and create some amazing animations.
I can just imagine all kinds of things, whether you're using that in science to talk about the water cycle, or, you know, how does a caterpillar become a butterfly, or a tadpole become a frog, or, I mean, there's just so many ways that you can use that. That's awesome. Okay, what's your next tool that we can use creatively?
So the next section in the book is on Google Drawings, which is very similar to Google Slides. A lot of times I describe Google Drawings as Google Slides if you only had one slide. Basically, a lot of the things you can do in slides, you can also do in drawings, but sometimes it makes sense just to have that one canvas that you're working on. And we cover loads of creative ideas for using drawings. But for example, one that I like a lot is what I call a Google link, kind of like a thing link, but Google's version of that. So basically an interactive image. The idea behind this is a student could take an image. One example I use in the book is a diagram of the parts of a flower, but it could be all sorts of things. It could be a map and you're trying to point out different spots on the map and explain what's going on there. It could be, you know, a diagram of an insect and you're talking about all the different parts of the insect. The point is you'll start with an image, and then with Google Drawings, you can then drop on top of that image either little pieces of clip art, maybe, you know, circles or squares or icons to show a document or a video or something, or it doesn't even have to be something visible. You can just put shapes. You can even make those shapes invisible after you put them on, but make them like hot spots on top of different parts of the image. What you can do then is you can hyperlink either those clip art images you added or the hot spots that you added as shapes, and those can be hyperlinked to jump out to other resources so that if you click on this part of the image, it opens up this YouTube video, or if you click on this part of the image, it goes to this Google document where you've written more information about the topic. And so what you end up with is a interactive image. And as people then click on that image, they can jump out to all of the resources that the student has either curated and collected or has written themselves and put together.
Now, isn't that how a lot of teachers are creating these sort of emoji-looking classrooms that have links to the different pieces?
You got it. Same kind of idea. That's exactly right. I've seen so many of these really cute Bitmoji classrooms where, yeah, you click on different parts of it and it jumps out to those resources. That can often be done in Google Slides, but works very well in Google Drawings as well.
Fun. Okay, what's our last app?
The final piece is with Google Sheets, which we normally think of as our spreadsheet tool for, you know, organizing and analyzing data, which is absolutely wonderful. But there are, again, a lot of creative ways we can take something like Google Sheets and do something creative with it. One of the examples that I have in here is self-checking assessments. And what I mean by that is you can use Google Sheets, and I have a template that people can work from that's linked into the book, or they can, you know, create one on their own as well. The idea behind this is with Google Sheets, we can use something called conditional formatting, and that shows up in a whole lot of these activities where based upon what you type into a cell in the spreadsheet, it'll either change colors, green or red, or get bolded or something like that. Well, this is a great way to do some simple self-checking assessments where you can have questions for the student, and then next to those questions, they can type in their response. Well, in the background, you can have a hidden sheet that has all the right answers, and conditional formatting can basically compare what the student typed in to what the right answer is supposed to be and give them immediate feedback. So this would be a great way for a student to go through a list of questions for an upcoming, you know, test or a quiz and be able to put in answers and find out right away whether they got that right or not. And this is a great project for a student to create as well. Everything in this book, really, these are student-centered activities. So yes, you as a teacher could make something like this, but how about, again, letting this be a project for a student who gets excited about that? Let them build a quiz. Think about that, the thought processes that have to go into picking the good questions that will really address what's being covered in that topic, and then the appropriate answers for those.
And we want to talk about the fact that we need creativity, that all of these tools, if you just go on there and you do drill and kill and you just have them keep typing papers and you just don't get that creativity going, then kind of what's the point, right?
Right. Absolutely. And that's really what the idea behind the book is. I was taking some of the most exciting activities that over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years I've been working on through my Control Alt Achieve blog that all are, as you said, yeah, creative student-centered activities where the students are taking the tools we've already got. We've got these tools sitting here and trying to use them in ways that get the students working together and expressing what they've learned in creative ways.
Okay, so the book is Control Alt Achieve, Rebooting Your Classroom with a Creative Google Projects from Eric Kurtz. Thanks for these ideas, Eric.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks as always for having me on.
If you enjoyed today's 10-Minute Teacher podcast, why not subscribe on iTunes? You can also catch up with Vicki on Twitter at CoolCatTeacher or level up and learn with her blogs and free resources at CoolCatTeacher.com. Thanks for listening.